And now we turn to a story that sheds some light on the problems with clinical trials and who is included in them. We've heard on the show before that minorities are often excluded from clinical trials, which can lead to inequities in their healthcare treatment. But that unequal representation also extends to older adults. And the show's Lauren Gilger is here now with more on this. Hello, Lauren.
Hello. So even though older people are often the ones who need the kinds of treatments tested in clinical trials, they aren't often the people involved in testing them, it turns out. That happens for a slew of reasons that we'll get into in a minute. But last December, the National Institutes of Health, or the NIH, issued new policy guidelines for the research it funds. Now, grant applicants to the NIH are required to explain how they plan to include people of all ages in their studies. And if they're not going to do that, they have to provide acceptable justifications for any group that's left out. So for more on this, I got a hold of Susan Peschen. She's the president of the Alliance for Aging Research. And I asked her first about how widespread this problem is.
Some clinical trials have arbitrary age limits, so they'll have an age cutoff at 60 years or 65 years or sometimes even younger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're looking at conditions that disproportionately impact older adults, then that's a problem because you're not going to have a representative number of folks in the trial that are going to end up using the medical product when the clinical trial is over.
So tell us why this is. Why is it that older participants are being excluded in this way?
Well, older adults tend to have more than one condition, and they also tend to take multiple medications. So that can confound results and make the study a little bit more complicated. But that's the reality. When somebody gets Alzheimer's disease, for example, it's not uncommon for them to also have diabetes or also have congestive heart failure with it. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about putting them in a study to test a drug for Alzheimer's disease, the study sponsors might just want people that just have Alzheimer's. And so they try to limit it as much as possible, and it becomes less real world in terms of who's actually going to end up taking the drug.
Yeah, I can imagine this must be frustrating especially for physicians who work with older patients often.
It can be because they're recognizing that some of their patients that are a little bit more complex they're giving them medications that really haven't been studied on people who are like them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that can carry some extra risk with it.
But now the NIH has new policy guidelines that require older participants to be included in clinical trials. Do you think those will make any difference?
Yes, they just passed some requirements that basically don't allow for these arbitrary age limits anymore, and we think it's a huge step forward, both for the pediatric as well as the geriatric population. So do think it's going to make a big difference. We're really not going to see a major difference until there's a change at the Food and Drug Administration.
Right. So let's talk about what role the FDA could play. What would you like to see them do?
Well, we would like to see Congress give FDA authority to mandate that there be representative populations in trials that are based on, you know, age-related conditions. Folks who are dealing with pediatric diseases are always complaining that a lot of the drugs that are used in kids are off-label use, mm-hmm. and it's the same thing in the older population, too. So you want more real-world type of studies in the primary clinical trials rather than waiting until the drugs are already on the market. And another reason for that is there's different requirements in terms of what they publish and what type of data is available to the public. Anything that they do post-market is not necessarily available to the public. So we don't get information on that. The FDA might, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be in a published medical journal the way that information from a primary clinical trial would be.
Right. So where the NIH wouldn't have any effect on the vast majority of studies that are privately funded, the FDA could have an impact in that arena.
Oh, they could have a huge impact. And we think along with them, getting the authority to mandate, that there ought to be some incentives for sponsors who do that, because some of the trials may need to be a little bit bigger. It can complicate things a bit. And so there need to be things on the incentive side. It's sort of a carrot and a stick approach, mm-hmm. to make sure that this, you know, this is happening as widely as possible.
Yeah. Is there any movement, any momentum within the FDA to make that happen?
I think there is. I mean, I think within the FDA itself, they do talk to sponsors about the importance of having representative populations, not just in terms of age, but in terms of sex, in terms of racial differences. So they're very aware that it's important that, you know, these drugs and medical devices and other medical products be tested in the populations that are primarily going to be using them. But if they don't have mandate authority, you know, it comes off as not much more than a suggestion on their end.
Right.
So that's why it's important to have, you know, a little bit more oomph behind it.
All right. Susan Peschen is the president of the Alliance for Aging Research. Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.